It's indeed my pleasure to be here with you today to share with you some thoughts from God's Word. We will take our opening text today from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 12 and verse 24, and we would invite you to pick up your Bible and turn there and study along with us today as we look at some passages in the Old and New Testament. We want to talk today for a few minutes about blessings from God, and my lesson today is not a long one, but one that I think is important that we, from time to time, stop and look at what God has done for us and the blessings that He has granted us with. And this particular verse that we're going to take our text from today gives us actually three points that we want to look at today. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. We hope and pray, as we always mention, that if there are any in our audience today who have never rendered obedience to the gospel, that when that song has been announced, number 197, is led, that you will take into consideration your soul and its condition. You'll have an opportunity at that time to come forward and through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism be added to the Lord's body. If you've already done that and become a member of the Lord's body and strayed and fallen back into the world of sin, we invite you also at that time to come forward and we'll pray with you and for you. As we look ahead to our meeting, which starts tonight with Brother Carly, I don't know what his topics are going to be, but I felt that if we look today and kind of humble ourselves in looking at the blessings that God has given us and the other two points that we're going to look at in this particular verse, that it might get us in the right mindset to have a productive meeting, that it would revive all of us throughout this week that's coming up. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." Three points we want to look at in that particular passage today. Two bits of instruction that we're given. Number one is fear the Lord. Number two is serve Him in truth. And then number three is consider how great things He hath done for you. We want to look at that number three first. Consider how great things God hath done for us. What great things has God done for you? You know, there's a song in our songbook that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done." If we take out a piece of notebook paper today and we try to write down all the blessings that we've been blessed with from God, we would have a mighty long list. But even with that, we would forget a lot of them. There are a lot of things that He does for us that we take for granted. You know, we realize that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from God. And a lot of those things that we have and we've had since the day we were born, and we take them for granted. What great things has God done for you? Well, to just look at a few categories of blessings that He has given us, and by no means will this be an exhaustive list. He's given us the help, that we enjoy today, that we're able to be here in this capacity to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's given us our family and the love that's shared among our family. He's given us innumerable material goods. And you know, we may feel like sometimes that we acquire those things through our blood, sweat, and tears that we put out on our job day to day, but we got to realize that God gives us the ability to do that, and God is the one that is responsible for anything that we acquire, whether it be material or whether it's something intangible. And then God has blessed us with multitudes of spiritual blessings. He's given us the Bible that we might study and follow and understand what he requires of us, that we might inherit a home in heaven. He's given us servants, and that's all of us. We're all, if we choose to be so, are His servants, and we have some place. We're all given a talent. We're all given a gift that we have the ability to do and do it well in serving Him. And that doesn't have to be something that happens here on Sunday morning, but throughout our lives, throughout our daily walks of life, we all have some talent and some gift. And it's our job to find what that is and find what our niche is to be able to be a productive servant for the Lord. He gave us His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that He made upon the cross for our sins. And He gave us what we call the second law of pardon, to just name a few of the spiritual blessings. So, you know, the multitude of things that God's done for us, and the list I've made merely touches the surface if we began to write those down and list them. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, in verse 3, we're cautioned about something that we as a human race are sometimes guilty of. And I call that blowing your own horn. We want to blow our own horn sometimes and tell what all we've done, what we've accomplished, what I have done. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, the writer said, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You know, and we mentioned that a little earlier today about all good and perfect gifts come from God. No matter what we acquire, we didn't do it. God allowed us the ability to do it, gave us the intelligence, the knowledge, the know-how, the strength, and the wisdom to do whatever it is that we've done and we accomplished, and we need to realize that all those gifts come from Him. In our opening text, we said there were two other things in that passage that we wanted to look at today. Samuel gave these as bits of instruction, and he told us two things. He said, fear God, and then he told us to serve God in truth. Let's look at those for the remainder of our lesson today. Fear God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10, and I want to read where Moses gave us this command. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Moses gave that as instruction, and it applies to you and I today, that we fear God all the days that we shall live upon the earth, and that we teach our children. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we want to look at verses 28 and 29. Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, we find a passage here that warns us about the power that God has, and kind of goes along with what Moses told us about we needed to fear Him. We needed to teach our children to fear God because of the great power that He possesses. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, and moved here is translated to mean shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. The writer here tells us that we need to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, reverence means all mingles with respect. It means that we're to be in awe of God, and at the same time, respect Him. So He tells us to serve Him with reverence and also with godly fear, because our God is a consuming fire. And we've read many times, and we're not going to look at those today, but there are many examples throughout the Old Testament and some in the four Gospels where an awful swift punishment was given to somebody that transgressed, that went against God's Word, and it dealt fire, it dealt with immediate death, it dealt with stonings and all sorts of things that let us know about His power, which is good indication that we should revere Him, that we should be in awe of Him, but at the same time respect Him. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7, we'd like to look at a passage there when we read the words of an angel regarding fearing God and judgment. Revelation chapter 14 in verse 7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. So the angel here gives that instruction to fear God and give glory to Him because the hour of His judgment is at hand. He says, fear Him. Worship Him that made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And that just begins to touch on all the powers and the abilities that, God has. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus tells us who we need to fear most. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. You know, as children, we fear a lot of things. We fear those things that go bump in the night. You know, as parents, we get asked a lot of questions. You know, what was that noise I heard in the kitchen? And we don't want to get up and go see. You know, we may not know what it was either. But kids fear those things. They fear when a dog barks, what's it barking at? They don't want to go into a room that's dark a lot of times. There may be some of us adults that don't want to go into a room that's dark sometimes. We fear frogs. We fear spiders. We fear snakes. A lot of things that we fear. But this particular passage in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 kind of puts it in perspective and lets us know with relation to things that we actually do fear here on earth, what we should fear the most for. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, I've heard people tell sometimes about dreams that they had, and you may have had similar dreams where you're just trying to get away from somebody. They have some kind of weapon, and they're trying to do you in, and it just seems like you run all night trying to get away from that person, trying to escape getting killed. Well, the Bible tells us here, fear not them which are able to kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Well, that's the only one person can have the power to do that, and that's God. That's who we're supposed to fear. Not be afraid of that person that can kill our body but can't damage our soul, but fear that person or that being that has the ability to destroy both soul and body in hell. Daniel also instructed us in the passage that we began with, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24, that we should serve God in truth. Well, that's one of those things that, you know, we read that and we say, yes, that's, we do that. And we really don't delve into what that really means. Serve God in truth. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. We want to look at a passage that you've heard many times, verses 30 through 36 of Luke chapter 10. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. When we think about somebody that's serving God in truth, this comes to mind to me as a great example of that. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by him on the other side. So two people had come by, a priest and a Levite, and they neither offered any help. One of them didn't even, this Bible doesn't tell us that he even looked at him. He just got on the other side and passed by. Well, this one looked at him. And then the Levite, but then he passed by on the other side also. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor to him that fell among thieves? Well, in kids' terms today, that's a no-brainer. It's easy to tell which one of those three was a friend to the man that had fell among thieves. And no doubt it was the Samaritan, because he had compassion on him. He took care of him. He bound up his wounds. He took him to an inn, a motel. And he treated him there, and he left the money for the keeper of the motel and said, take care of him, and if you spend more than this amount, when I come back, I'll repay you. That's it. That's your spend. Take care of him. The Samaritan served God by helping somebody that was in need. Look also at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. You know, the Bible teaches us that in so much as we send to somebody that's in need, that it's like we're doing it to our Heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So the Good Samaritan, in a sense, was doing a good deed to God by taking care of the one that had fallen among thieves. Another service is commanded in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. If you turn with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and we'll look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores, God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And that's a service that we can offer to God. And we're talking about serving God in truth. Now, an example is given for us to follow this in the Bible, and it's Luke chapter 21. If you turn back with me to Luke chapter 21, and we'll look at the first four verses. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of her penury, and penury here is translated to mean poverty, hath cast in all the living that she has. So the poor widow, and my first grade teacher used to tell us this story pretty regularly. The poor widow had cast in all that she had, and these other people gave in some amount of their abundance, but she gave in all she had. And so even though that might not have been the same quantity that they gave, Jesus says that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. Look over to John chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, and we read an example of Jesus' example of service. 1 John 13, verses 14 and 15. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. You know, I've heard times in religious circles, I guess you could say, of those that have feet washings to show that they humble themselves enough to wash another person's feet and provide that service. And Jesus says in this particular example, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then ye also ought to wash another's, because I've given you an example as you should do as I've done. And then finally, last passage today, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 33, we read a passage here that kind of summarizes what we know about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who was the author of many of the books that we study out of in the New Testament, was one that was known as the Apostle to the Hebrews by many, and he was one that was constantly sought by the Jews that they might cast him into prison, that they might murder him, that they might harm him in some way, because they were just always after him. And this particular passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 33 kind of sums up his reason for being, what he was striving at, his theme, if you will, upon this earth. 1 Corinthians 10 and 33. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul said he wasn't seeking any good for himself. He tried to help a lot of people in a lot of different ways, and he wasn't seeking his own profit. He wasn't doing it to blow his own horn. He wasn't doing it to put a feather in his own cap, but he was doing it for the profit of many, that they may be saved. So the end result of our service to God should be that souls are saved. That's what we're striving for. to make sure that we're in a saved relationship with God and then to strive to save the souls of others. So I ask you today in closing, if you're a servant of God, and you strive to do the things that Samuel told us, to fear Him and to serve Him in truth, and have we considered what great things God has done for us? If you're in need of the services of the church, if you've never become a child of God, or if you've been a member of that body and strayed and fallen back into sin, we'll extend the invitation to you this morning and ask that you come while we stand in the center.